Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
What do cyberbullying, internet safety, violence against teens, charity fraud, and the McGruff Club have in common? Well, they're all projects of the National Crime Prevention Council. And joining me today is Michelle Boykins, who is the Director of Communications and Marketing for the National Crime Prevention Council. Michelle, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley, for having me.
Now, you have a very interesting organization, and we're going to talk about a lot of the projects that you have going on. But before we do that, give us just a little bit of background on the council itself.
Certainly. Well, the National Crime Prevention Council is nearly 30 years old. We are not as old as our icon, McGruff the Crime Dog. He turned 30 this year. And we were formed to help people keep themselves, their families, and their communities safe from crime. We work with law enforcement locally, work with government, individuals, and we really try to help people understand it's easier than they think to help take a bite out of crime.
And observance, as you said, looking at people in your neighborhood, keeping track of what's going on around you, all of those things can help. And I like that philosophy. You work with what government agencies specifically do you work with? You're providing data. What is your relationship? You're a nonprofit.
We are a nonprofit organization. We do work with the federal government in particular, but we also work with state and local governments as needed. One of our partners, a funding partner of NCPC from the very beginning, has been the U.S. Department of Justice, and particularly the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Mm-hmm. So you would provide them data, do projects, and that sort of thing?
We receive grants from the U.S. Department of Justice and work on specific projects and issues. There are times where we'll be asked by local government to come in and try to help out with a particular problem that they're experiencing in their community. Mm-hmm. But we do also receive funds from private sources, corporate sponsorships, and the like to be able to do the work that we do.
Now, what is your website so that our listeners can go to it and learn more about you and your project? Because you have a lot of useful tools on your website, so we're going to tell them about that. But what is the website?
Our website is www.ncpc.org. And we have information there from elementary school age kids on up to senior citizens. So we really try to cover the gamut of information available.
You do. Now, one of your latest projects has to do with cyberbullying, which has been such a horrible problem, has cost teens their lives. I mean, it's really been tragic. What kind of projects are you involved in with regard to cyberbullying?
Well, NCPC's been a leader in the bullying prevention efforts from the early 80s and on to present. So we really have had a mainstay in that arena for quite some time. Of course, with the onset of new technologies, cyberbullying has really taken off as an issue for our young people, but also an issue for adults as well. And sometimes people forget that. We have a couple of initiatives going on with our cyberbullying efforts. The first is our Circle of Respect initiative, and that's really designed to talk about the issues that are inherent from a lack of respect for one another, a lack of respect for that relationship that's between one another. So what we work on with that is civility issues and talking to them about if you have respect for your fellow students, then you're less likely to engage in a bullying situation. You're more likely to be proactive and say, this isn't the right thing to do.
But how much does it do with a child that's doing the bullying not having respect for themselves?
That can enter into the equation. Most often, bullying is about a balance of power. So it's about taking power away from someone else and having that action make you feel more powerful as the person who's doing the bullying. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting with young people is the bully today can be the person who does the bullying behavior tomorrow. So it really is a transient situation.
It's, well, it, what par- a part do parents play in preventing cyberbullying of teens?
Parents can play a huge role in preventing cyberbullying among teens, among our population in general. Because again, it's not just about teens, it's also about adults as well. They do that behavior themselves, unfortunately. But in particular with young people, parents need to know, first of all, what's going on online with their kids, through their cell phones, all the technology that kids use as second nature. Parents need to have that become second nature for them as well.
So they understand the technology, because you're not going to be able to know what's happening if you don't understand it.
Absolutely. Once you know what's happening, then you can begin to set the guidelines, set the rules for your kids so they understand what it is that you expect of them. And be able to talk about it. We talk about using teachable moments, those moments where you hear a cyberbullying story in the news or something happens at your child's school. Use that as a way to talk to them about how they feel about the issue, what they think needs to happen, and then talk about what you want as a parent for your child. When you do that and you have that open dialogue with them, they are much more likely to come back to you and talk to you when they're experiencing that situation.
When they're having a problem. Now, do you go to the schools? Do you work directly with the school system?
We can work directly with the school system. Our programs, our training that we do get invited into the school system to work directly with them. One of the other initiatives that we're doing on cyberbullying is with the Office for Victims of Crime, and that is a program where we're talking directly to victim service providers, guidance counselors, school resource officers, those people who can provide a support mechanism in the school environment for a young person who's being bullied. And also likely the people who are going to engage our young people about what is the right kind of behavior to have.
So you would be providing them guidance, materials, or what would you be your role?
We provide them materials. We are right now finishing up our training portion of our materials, but we have a podcast series that we've just completed. And we have a toolkit of resources for the victim service providers. And one of those things includes a video that we just actually filmed yesterday to help them understand what a child goes through when they are cyberbullied. So you see it from the perspective of the young person, in this case, a young man in the video. You hear what kind of poor advice and good advice his fellow students and friends give him. And then you actually see what happens when he goes and he talks to his parents about it. And you also get the perspective of what happens when you have a parent that's supportive. They take that to the school and have a supportive school that really shows that young person he did the right thing.
Yeah. Let's just take a pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Michelle Boykins. She's the Director of Communications and Marketing for the National Crime Prevention Council. And we're talking about the various programs that they have, many of which are directed towards our teens. Now, one of the statistics that you provided to me, which totally stunned me, was to learn that teens are twice as likely to be victims of violent crimes as the rest of the population.
Yes, it is something that people don't often realize, but teens are among our most victimized population. They can victimize themselves, but they are more likely to be the victims themselves. And it's really something that we have made at National Crime Prevention Council priority for us. It's one of our four strategic goals, is to work to protect our young people.
Well, now, is this because it's from the violence is from other teens? Or do we have a bunch of teens who are out of control? Is this unusual, or are these patterns that we've seen going on for years?
These are actually patterns we've seen going on for years. Young people consistently are among the most victimized in our populations. Senior citizens are also highly on top of that list of victimized people as well. And it's not necessarily that we have a bunch of unruly young people running around, but within every population, you're going to have some victims of certain crimes, and unfortunately, they happen to be among the top.
The most of the more kids have those problems. Well, you know, I think your programs are absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
How did McGruff come about?
Well, McGruff the crime dog is our symbol for crime prevention.
Symbol.
Oh,
it's
he's fantastic.
Symbol.
We love him. We absolutely love him. And more than 83% of Americans know, love, and trust his messages on crime prevention. So we really have an effective symbol for us. But McGruff came about as a way to symbolize our campaign. What we're trying to do is to show people that there are easy, simple ways that they can help prevent crime in their community. And through our campaign, we affectionately call the McGruff Public Education Campaign, we've been able to, for 30 years, provide those kind of messages and information out to the public.
But McGruff is older than you all are.
McGruff is. McGruff is older than we are. The campaign really started out of the impetus to get citizens involved. At the time that the campaign started, citizens really didn't think they had a role to play in preventing crime. They thought it was for law enforcement only. And we were at, well, the group that formed that eventually helped us be able to launch the McGruff campaign was asked to come together different organizations from the FBI, law enforcement agencies, and the U.S. Department of Justice to try to work on a campaign to get citizens to get involved. And out of that campaign came the symbol McGruff the crime dog. And then it really took off in those first 2 years. And they said, we need an organization that can manage this for us. And that's how the National Crime Prevention Council came into being.
Oh, it's a good story. I love it. And I do like McGruff. I mean, that is such a recognizable symbol. I think we all know that McGruff stands for good things. I think it's a great vehicle.
Thank you.
To get attention, to teach, just to focus. And also, I think kids are attracted to it.
Absolutely. Kids and adults. You'd be surprised, Shirley, when we take McGruff out into the community, you will find as many adults running to take their picture with McGruff as you will with kids.
And it is cute.
We could not do that without the dedication of our law enforcement departments across the country.
Right.
They help to be able to take McGruff out into the community. We have police volunteers. They're officers who take their time off duty to go into the community, do safety affairs, do visits to the school, all of those things to help make sure that McGruff is ever present in the lives of our young people.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also very much in the lives of our adults as well.
Now, let me ask you something. Suppose a teenager is listening to this program, or a teenager's parent. Can they call you all if their child or if that child is the victim of cyberbullying, for example? Do you want to hear from them? Can you give them places to go to get help? So you are a good resource.
We are. We like to call ourselves a one-stop resource for the issues that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have the material that people need to be able to help with a problem. If we need to take that a step further and connect them to local law enforcement, if there's a serious threat there, mm-hmm. which sometimes there is in a cyberbullying situation, we can connect them to their local law enforcement to be able to take that further. So, yes, we get calls every single day from concerned parents, from teens themselves. We also love to get the calls from teens who say, I want to get involved.
Yes.
I want to do something.
Lovely.
I want to bring your program, your information to our community, to my school. We love to receive those calls from young people because they really are part of the solution.
Okay, let's give your phone number as well if people want to call you.
Certainly. Our phone number is 202-466-6272.
202-466-6272. The website is www.ncpc.org. This is just it's a wonderful program, and I use stuff in my writings from you all and some of the reports that I do, because I find the things that you have are very, very useful.
Thank you.
I can just imagine that it's a consolation to parents to feel like they have some place to turn when they've got questions about some of these issues, many of which they may never have dealt with before. So consequently, and seniors, I like that. Kids of the children of seniors who are having issues of bullying, for example, can turn to you as well. So you are a nonstop. You are a one-stop resource for so many people, and I think that's absolutely fabulous. And besides, I love McGruff. Let's just let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Michelle Boykins. She's the Director of Communications and Marketing for the National Crime Prevention Council. And we're talking about their various programs. Now, your cyberbullying program is one of your newer ones, I know, right?
Correct.
Well, I mean, no, you've been ongoing with this, but you have some new emphasis and focus on cyberbullying at this point.
That's correct, Shirley. We've actually been talking about the issue of cyberbullying since about 2005. We were one of the first organizations out there to really talk about this issue. And it's because as we were doing our research on the bullying efforts that we were doing, we started seeing kids talking about getting bullied through new technology. And with the onset of social media just taking off the way that it has over the past couple of years, it has really meant that we had to do a really good job of talking about cyberbullying as a subset of our mm-hmm. bullying efforts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probably the biggest part of it now.
It has certainly overtaken the traditional, what we call physical bullying situation. Mm-hmm. The anonymity of cyberbullying, the ubiquitous nature of technology in our lives has really had that problem increase for young people in particular.
I think what's so awful about it is that when something awful gets out there about a child or anyone, you can't stop it. I mean, it's just terrible, and there's really no way to fight it. I mean, it's, I guess you just have to be careful what you do and the things. I think particularly kids need to be extremely careful what they post on social networking sites.
They do, and you can't necessarily stop it, but you can try to work on preventing it, and mm-hmm. that's what we do. We try to work on educating our young people so that they have that moment where they pause before they do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we're trying to get to. So fighting it isn't the right word here. It's really about trying to prevent it. So we talk to them about not writing the message, not forwarding a message. Young people often in a cyberbullying situation, they'll think, oh, well, that was kind of funny. So they'll forward it on to 100 or more of their friends. And what they've done is they've just re-victimized that person.
Perpetrating it. It's just, yes.
And they often don't understand that. They don't recognize that you've just helped to re-victimize that person. So what we're trying to do is help them through our Circle of Respect initiative mm-hmm. to be able to have the empathy, the respect for that person who's being bullied to say, I'm not going to forward that on. I'm going to stop it. I may even say to the person who's doing it, that's the wrong thing to do. Let's stop
this.
Now,
how do you measure the success of your initiatives? I mean, What kind of benchmarks do you have when you start something like the cyberbullying campaign?
Well, the National Crime Prevention Council really believes in research and evaluation. We want to be able to know that the work that we're doing is out there and being effective. So what we'll do in particular, I manage public service advertising campaigns or public education work from a media standpoint. When we put together a media campaign, we have benchmarks that we set at the outset of the campaign. We'll even go and do what we call a pre-wave set of research so we know what people think about that issue right at that moment, and it helps us understand where we can move them in the future. And then after the campaign's been out there for a bit of time, we will then go back and measure to see if we have moved them, if they are doing the kind of things that we're asking them to do, if they're able to tell us the kind of tips that we've shared with them, if they're able to give those back to us, that's a win-win situation for NCPC.
And then you know you're doing it right and you can continue. Yeah, I like that. Let me just, we only have a couple of minutes left. What are you seeing happening in the area of fraud against seniors? Is this still, I mean, I know at one time it seems like seniors were the prime target of everybody. Well, it seems like an awful lot of kids are the targets of a lot of different things right now. But what about frauds? Are they still targeting seniors? Are we seeing the change in the types of frauds, or what's going on?
Senior citizens are still among the most defrauded group out there in our population. And with technology, with the way that the criminal mind works, they're going to exploit every new technology, every new nuance that they can. So we're, of course, seeing identity theft in the senior population. We're also seeing medical fraud issues and of course just your general consumer fraud, people calling up and saying, hey, we have this really great deal for you, give us all your information, or doing phishing scams where they're asking people to give their personal information, bank accounts and so forth, over an email. And so we are working, we actually have a program that we're working right now under one of our grants with the U.S. Department of Justice to be able to talk to seniors about those fraud issues and also talk to them about elder abuse. It's another issue
that
senior citizens don't always report, but it is a growing issue amongst that population.
Well, I tell you, why don't the crooks put their minds to something good? Think how much different our world would be. And
we would love it if they could take that ingenuity.
Yeah, the billions of dollars that is lost to crime, fraud, all kinds of things, and much of it going outside the country as well, because so many of these frauds, especially these the things that are done over the internet, they're coming from outside our country. They're not coming from the United. Well, some of them are. But a lot of them are coming from outside the United States, and consequently, you've got to deal with the long-distance problems as well.
It's a mixed bag in terms of where it comes from, and certainly internationally as well as nationally. And our goal is to just do as much prevention and education as we can to make people be better consumers and reduce their opportunity for being victims of crime.
Oh yeah, I think that is so important. Awareness is probably one of the greatest preventive tools that you can have. Because I do consumer stuff on the radio every day, and people will send me an email and say, Shirley, I didn't fall for this because I heard you talking about it. Because, you know, so many of the scams now are so clever, and they look so legitimate, and, you know, you're thinking, And I can understand how people fall for them.
Yes. And for us, awareness, education, and action are the three keys to really being effective on these issues.
Yep. Well, Michelle, thank you so much, because I think it's just been very enlightening for us. The website is www.ncpc.org. And the phone number is 202-466-6272. And if you're online, I really encourage you to go to their website. They have many, many, many tools there for all people, every age. So it's a great, great resource for us to know about. So my guest has been Michelle Boykins. She's the Director of Communications and Marketing for the National Crime Prevention Council. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker, and we thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.